Today's scripture reading is Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for these opportunities we have to worship God in spirit and truth. We're certainly thankful for the prayer. We're thankful for the scripture reading. We're certainly thankful for the songs and all those things that make up our worship. We're so thankful that you're here. Certainly it's pleasing to God, and certainly it's an encouragement to us as brothers and sisters in Christ. Matthew chapter 7 is probably one of the passages that you probably get to hear the most from non-Christians. In fact, you pretty much just get to hear chapter 7 and verse 1. And as I was studying, as I was preparing, I realized how much twisting happens with Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 in particular. In fact, I think if you just go to verse 2, it gives you so much more context. If you go to verse 5, it gives so much more context. If you actually consider the whole Sermon on the Mount, it gives you so much more context to what really we have going on in Matthew chapter 7. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, I think we have some do's and some do nots. And although I think I cannot touch the passage without looking at the do nots, I do want to focus on the do's. Because I think that that the world has dragged us to a point where we have focused so much on verse 1 that we never get to verse 2, we never get to verse 3, we never get to verse 4, we never get to verse 5. And I think that perhaps as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can acknowledge that sometimes the world can distract us from what God actually wants us to do and do correctly. So I want to look at verses 1 and 2 where I really think we find the do not. And although I could preach a whole lesson on the do not, I want to get to verses 3, 4, and 5 where we see the do's of the Christian, the things that Christians should be involved in. When we look at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus really does hammer on the idea of hypocrites, religious hypocrites. Hypocrite will translate with the idea of an actor or a pretender. And there are a lot of pretenders when Jesus comes on the scene. There are a lot of people that are pretending to follow Jesus. They're pretending to follow the Old Testament. And Jesus says, this simply will not do. And really what we have is we have the Pharisees called out on many occasions for being hypocrites. And right here, in chapter 7, I think when you consider the Sermon on the Mount entirely, and if you consider verses 1 and 2, what Jesus is really after is don't be a hypocrite when it comes to your judging. Don't be a pretender and then go out and judge individuals. Now, we understand that we will not be able to make an everlasting judgment on individuals, but we can certainly determine right and wrong. And what unfortunately has happened with Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 is this is probably the verse you'll hear most from the world, is they'll say, judge not, that you be not judged. Well, didn't Jesus say that? Yes, he did, and he was talking about hypocritical judgment. Judging and having different standards for people. People that you like, you're very easy on. People that you don't like, you're very hard on. A hypocritical judgment, not using the same standards. I think that's really what we find in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. God does not want us to be hypocrites when it comes to making judgments. When determining right and wrong, when trying to look out for the world and detect right and wrong, God does not want us to be hypocrites. And I think that certainly is the main idea. Is will you use the same standard? If you are doing something that's wrong, is it wrong for other people? See, the hypocrites are saying, I'm going to do it this way, and if you do it, I'm going to say it's wrong, but if I do it, it's okay. If something happened in your family, if it was someone else, you'd say, you know what, that's wrong, but because it's someone in your family, you won't say it's wrong. We must use the same standard, and really I think that's what Jesus is after in verses 1 and 2, is we must use the same standard. It says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. I'm going to measure you in inches, but I'm going to measure myself in yards. You cannot do that. We have to use the same standard. He is really after a hypocritical judgment. We understand that everlasting judgment will be in the hands of God. He is just. He understands all things. He sees all things. He's going to be making those everlasting calls. But the idea that we cannot make any judgment on this plane of life is a very dangerous idea. And it is one that our world, I think, has convinced Christians of. That we cannot make judgment. If we cannot make judgments, we are in big trouble. Can we make a judgment whether somebody is a Christian or a non-Christian? Can we make a judgment whether something is right or wrong? Good behavior, bad behavior. We must be able to make judgment. But we must use the same standard. In John chapter 12, verses 48 and 49, Jesus says, "He who rejects me and receives not my word, has that which judges him. The words that I have spoken will judge in the last day, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak." The same standard is God's Word. We need to be using God's Word, and we cannot be applying it one way, and then another way, and a different way. We must be consistent. So I think we get bogged down with verses 1 and 2, which I'm not saying that they're not important. 1 and 2 is saying, be very careful with your judgment. Be very careful with your forgiveness. Well, where did you get forgiveness? Well, if you go to Luke chapter 6, verses 37, 38, in that area, we have the same thing reflected in another gospel, and it talks about the idea of forgiveness. Be very careful with your judgment. Be very careful with the standard which you're using, because understand what you're using will be measured back to you. I tend to try to be very forgiving as best I can. But there is right and wrong in this world, and it can be detected. But what I really want to focus on is verses 3 through 5. Because God says, don't be a hypocritical judge. Use the same standard. Understand that you are going to be held to a standard. But how should we go about this in the world? In verses 3 through 5, I think we get a picture of some things that Christians should be doing. And if we're not going, we are falling short of what God wants us to do. In verse 3, it says, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in my own eye'? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." I think the main idea of verses 1 and 2 is we should not be hypocritical. We should be using the same standard. If it's right for me, it should be right for you. If it's wrong for me, it should be wrong for you. The preacher should not have a different standard than anyone else. The preacher's kids should not have a standard different than anyone else. If it's wrong for the preacher's kids, it's wrong for other kids as well. If it's wrong for the preacher to do, it's wrong for the congregation. If it's wrong for the elders, it's wrong for everyone else. The same standard must be applied. But the hypocrites, they had a trouble with this in many respects. In fact, on one occasion, Jesus said, "Do as the Pharisees teach, but not as they do." A lot of times, the Pharisees were actually teaching things that were correct from the Old Testament, but they weren't going to do them. They had a different standard for themselves. Rule for thee, but not for me. A hypocritical standard, God is against. But what does God want us to do? When you look at verses 3 and 4, it says, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in my own eye'?" Number one, I think God is trying to send a very clear message. Number one, you need to look at yourself. Isn't that not what the Bible is saying? Number one, look at yourself. Before you go and try to help someone else with their speck, which is a problem, and I will acknowledge the world has tried to erase the speck from this. If you get to the end in verse 5, and you know what it says? It says, once you have taken out the plank, then you can see clearly, and then it says, go help your brother with the speck. The Bible does not say the speck is not there. The Bible doesn't say the speck should not be removed, but it says there's a process here. And many times, Christians fall short, I think, at following the process. Number one, you better look at yourself. You better look at yourself, and you better look at yourself using God's Word as the standard. And I think we find this idea throughout the Scriptures. Look at yourself. Look at yourself compared to God's Word. When's the last time you did a spiritual examination? When's the last time you did a spiritual checkup? You know, it's important to do that from time to time, to have physical checkups. We need some spiritual checkups. And I believe the Bible encourages us to do those spiritual checkups. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? That's an examination of seeing whether we are in the faith. When it comes to communion in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there's an examination that's supposed to take place there as well. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, there's supposed to be an examination. When's the last time you went through a spiritual examination? It could have at least been last Sunday. I think God has the Lord's Supper here for many purposes. But when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you see that there's some examination of ourselves that takes place as well as remembering and reflecting on the Lord. When's the last time you did a spiritual checkup? In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40, it says this. It says, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. When's the last time you did a spiritual checkup? And you said, here are things that I am not doing right in accordance to God's Word. Here are things that I am doing right in accordance to God's Word. When's the last time you looked at yourself? When's the last time you caught yourself not doing what the Bible teaches? Well, Kyle, I just never kept myself doing anything wrong. Well, you sound a whole lot like the Pharisees. That was their problem, is they could never see where they were making a mistake. They could never see where they were wrong. They could never see it. They could never see their mistake. See, I'm convinced that many individuals don't like going through spiritual examination. In James chapter 1, verses 23 through 25, the Bible says this. It says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. This is spiritual examination that needs to take place. We do spiritual examinations with a mirror. We look in that mirror, and you know what that mirror tells us? It tells us the truth. Now, sometimes we might not like that truth. And you know what? Sometimes we might even ignore that truth, right? My hair likes to stick up in the back. You know, there's some days I look in the mirror, and that hair is sticking up in the back. I know it's a problem. I just can't quite get it down. Or you know what? I think this day it's not a big deal. I'm not going to try to get that hair down in the back. The mirror will tell you the truth. The question is, will you make adjustments to the truth? In James chapter 1, verses 23 through 25, it says, look into the perfect law of liberty. That is our mirror. You look into a physical mirror, you get to see the truth. You get to see that reflection, and you get to make corrections if you so desire. If you look into the law of liberty, if you look into the mirror of God's Word, it'll give you a picture. It'll give you a picture of what you're doing right. It'll give you a picture of what you're doing wrong. But many people, I think, they fear to look in that mirror again. They're afraid of what they might see. This is the first step of the process. The first step of the process is look at yourself. Look in the spiritual law of liberty. See where there are problems and make corrections. If there is a plan, if there is a problem, it needs to be solved. It needs to be worked on. But I mean, many people don't want to look at the law of liberty anymore because it's too hard to look. In Psalm 119, verse 11, it talks about hiding the word in our heart that we might not sin against God. The spiritual law of liberty will show you your sin. It will show you your shortcomings. It will show you those flaws. Do we look into the law of liberty anymore? The law of liberty is the mirror of the soul. You get to see your spiritual reflection. You get to see what you're doing good and what you're doing bad and what's not according to God's Word. You get to see all that. Sometimes people won't look in the physical mirror, and I think they try to fool themselves. And I think sometimes people don't look into the spiritual mirror and they try to fool themselves. I'm good, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, but no one's looking at the law of liberty. And that's what the first thing that God's saying here, I think in Matthew chapter 7, is look at yourself. Take a good look. Maybe even take some time. Look into the law of liberty and see your reflection and see your flaws. Have you lied to yourself? Are you in denial? See, the Pharisees had that attitude. They had the attitude that they would look into the Old Testament law and they'd say, I don't see any flaws, no flaws at all. Well, isn't that nice? I look into the mirror and I see no flaws, no flaws at all. I've got no flaws. That's how the Pharisees' attitude was. They would look down on others because of it. They could not see their own flaws and their own shortcomings. You know, that's a fear of mine. Is to not be able to look into the law of liberty and see my reflection.
Can you see your reflection? Sometimes I think that the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, they can kind of distort that picture out of our own choices. If we can deceive ourselves, the Bible talks about in James chapter 1. It says, don't be deceived, be doers of the word, not hearers only. People can deceive themselves spiritually and say, I'm good, I'm okay, I'm doing what God wants me to do. Their vision has been blurred because of their choices in relation to sin. In Luke chapter 18, I think we have two individuals that are sinners, but only one could see it. In Luke chapter 18, you remember that there was a tax collector and a Pharisee. In Luke chapter 18, there was a tax collector and a Pharisee, and that tax collector, if we remember some of the things that the Pharisee says, I'm thankful that I'm not like other men. He basically says, I'm thankful I don't have any mistakes and I don't have any flaws. I'm thankful. He's very prideful, and he looked down on that tax collector, and we remember that tax collector just hits his chest and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. One of these individuals could see that they were a sinner. One of these individuals could not see that they were a sinner. And you know what? That can happen to us if we're not careful. Number one, on this step, this process that God is giving us, number one step of the process is look at yourself. So I've got a question for you this morning. What are your top two spiritual flaws? You say, Kyle, I can't answer that question. Maybe you haven't looked in the mirror recently. Because I can tell you, I've got some spiritual flaws. I am not perfect. There are things that I work on. I've got to look at the law of liberty. I've got to see where the problems are. And then I've got to go to work to fix those problems. What are your top two spiritual flaws? Can you tell me those? Can you tell me what your spiritual... I'm not asking you to tell. But what are your top two spiritual flaws? Well, Kyle, I can't tell you. Look into the law of liberty and see where your spiritual flaws are. Look to yourself. What are your spiritual flaws? Let me get this straight. You can't see your flaws, but you can see everybody else's. You know, that's not in the picture that's given here. You got a doctor coming up to the bed, they got a big plank out of their eye, and they say, let me help you with this little problem that you have. And it's like, I don't know if I want to trust you, doc. You got this big problem that you can't see. If you can't see your own problem, then how are you going to see other problems? But people are really good at that somehow. We're very good at that. The Pharisees are very good at that. They can detect everybody else's problems, but they can't see their own. The question for you this morning is, can you see your own problems? Can you see your own struggles? Can you see your own spiritual flaws? Number one in the process, it says, look at yourself. I think the Bible's saying that. Look at yourself. And we see that throughout the Bible, is we should be doing spiritual examination. Step number two is once you have looked at yourself, guess what? You're going to be able to see a little bit more clear than you were in the past. Once you have looked at yourself and you have worked on yourself and you have really tried to work on some of those spiritual flaws that you have, I can guarantee you that you are going to be able to see clear. I think you're going to be able to relate to people better. I think you're going to be more sympathetic. I think you're going to be able to relate to people's challenges. In fact, someone might have the exact same challenge as you. In many respects, that's a blessing. We don't all have the same challenges. We have not all been through the same thing. I've not been through cancer. We've had some people at the congregation that have been through cancer. They can relate to people and help them. Now, I know that's just a challenge in life, but when we go through a spiritual problem, let's say somebody really struggled with pornography and they get to the other side of that, I think that person might be better to help someone that's going through a struggle like that. Or somebody that had a problem with alcohol, and now they are free of that in many respects. Not that they're not still going through challenges, but they are fighting through that. They might be able to help somebody more because they've been through that. Number one, look to yourself. Number two, understand when you go to work on yourself, you're going to be able to see clearer than you have in the past. Perhaps you're going to be more forgiving than you have been in the past. Not that we don't go to work on things. The Bible's going to tell us that. But I think that when we go to work on ourselves, it does something that we can see clearer. Look at verses 3-4 again. It says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye? The Bible's telling us, consider your own flaws. Number four, it says, or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, the plank is in my own eye. Hypocrite. It says, first remove the plank from your own eye. And then it says, and then you will see clearly. When we go to work on ourselves, I think we can see more clearly. And there are judgments that have to be made. See, they stop at verse 1, and then they just say, oh, yeah, see, there's no judgment. We have to make some judgment calls. We have to make judgment calls as parents. Our elders have to make judgment calls. We have to make judgment calls between good and evil. There's all kinds of judgments that have to be made. God is against hypocritical judgment, changing the standard at your convenience. Rule for men, but not for thee. In John chapter 7, verse 24, it talks about a good judgment. John chapter 7, verse 24, the Bible says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. If you're going to see clearly right and wrong, you're going to have to sort out some of the things in your own life. And how can you say you can pick up on right and wrong if you're not working on those things that you struggle with? It says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. We've got to get to know some situations before we immediately go into surgery. You've got to do some research. You've got to do some investigation. You've got to try to figure out some of the things that are going on so you can make a good judgment. And sometimes we are not good at doing investigations and trying to understand everything that surrounds a particular situation. A lot of times we look at it, we say, we just immediately go there. We have to investigate. We have to see clearly. See, the Bible teaches us to investigate. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, test all things, hold fast to that which is good. A lot of times I fear that perhaps we go off more gossip than we do facts. Get the facts and you'll be able to see clearly. Work on yourself and you'll be able to see clearly. But I think many times we fall short in those areas. But you don't think Christians are going to have to make judgment calls? We've got to make judgment calls between Christianity and Islam. We've got to make judgment calls between the organization of the church. We got to make judgment calls when it comes. We have to use the same standard. We make judgments every day. Hypocritical judgment is the danger. There are some instructions given to the elders. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. It says, therefore, take heed to yourselves. Wait, that kind of matches up with Matthew chapter 7. Wait, what does Matthew chapter 7 say? It says, first, look at yourself before you start looking out. But in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You think the elders, the shepherds of the church, they've got to use their judgment to detect where there's good and evil, to detect where there's individuals that need to be worked on, where there's specs that are out there that need to be looked at and considered. But first, the elders have to look to themselves. And then I think the elders need to make sure that they understand the situation. And we as Christians need to follow the same thing. It's not a different standard. It's we need to look to ourselves, and then we need to make sure that we understand the situation. This idea that we cannot make judgment is ridiculous. If you continue in chapter 7, just a few verses down, you get down to verse 15, look at what the Bible says. This is Jesus. He's still in the same passage, the same teaching. Verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets who come in to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit, you will know them. Let me ask you some questions. You know the difference between a thorn bush and a grapevine? Yeah, I feel pretty confident with that one. Can you tell good fruit from monsters? Yeah, we maybe need to do an investigation and make sure that we make a clear assessment. Because perhaps you could grab an apple and it looks good on one side, but it's rotten on the other. Okay, we have to do assessments. We have to see clearly. But we have to make judgments in this world. And it's amazing to me that the world, the devil, has turned the whole church away from doing what the church is supposed to do based off chapter 7 and verse 1. Well, you can't do any judgments. What are you talking about? We've got to judge false teachers. We've got to judge between right and wrong. We've got to do all kinds of judgments. Now, when it comes to everlasting judgment, certainly God is on a throne and in a place that he is a far better thing. But in this world, I can determine between right and wrong. If we cannot, we're in trouble. I can determine between a false teacher and a teacher of the truth. If I can't, I'm in trouble. And this goes for all of us. If we cannot determine these things, we are in trouble. But these things take time, and they certainly take investigation. Number one, look to yourself. Number two, look to the standard. Ask some questions. One of the dangerous things when it comes to judgment is we pick the wrong standard. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it talks about people that pick the wrong standard. Listen to what it says. It says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." You're picking a bad standard. See, a lot of people, instead of picking the Bible, they try to pick somebody else in the congregation. That's what they do. And you know what the Bible says? It says they are not wise. Number one, look for yourself. Number two, you need to see clearly. The only way you're going to see clearly is if you grab the Bible and you use the Bible as your tool of the standard. That's the only way. But we fall into that trap. Certainly I could fall into that trap. I could look at gospel preachers out there and I could start comparing myself to them. I could start saying, this one's better than me, this one's worse than me. I could fall into that trap. That's not my standard, you understand? My standard is the Word of God. What did Paul say to Timothy about being a preacher? What did he say a preacher should be doing? What did he say the requirements of a preacher are? I need to be looking at those. I need to be looking at those. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they are measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, and they are not wise." People in the Lord's church do this all the time, is they will pick the wrong standard and they'll go through the comparing game. "Well, I'd be better at this than this person does." You're looking at the wrong standard. There is, in this world, a very strong push for the standard of self. If my standard is actually the standard, because you know I'm right after all, so my standard is the right standard, and I'm going to take my standard and I'm going to apply it to everybody else. That's not the way we're supposed to do it. We're not supposed to compare ourselves by ourselves. We're supposed to be using God's Word. And that's what these Pharisees are doing, is they're saying, "You know what, this is what I do, so I'm good." They have made their standard of self, and our world has done that, and it's a dangerous thing. If you turn to God's Word, it'll tell you what good and bad is. But see, we compare to other people, don't we? "Well, you know what, this person misses services 3 times a month, and I'm only missing 1 time a month." The question is what is right and what is wrong? That's the question. I can find a whole bunch of people that are not doing things that I'm doing, and I can find a whole bunch of people that are doing things that I'm not doing. The question is what are you comparing to? And the only thing we should be comparing to is God's Word. So people fall into this trap all the time. And you know what? You can't see clearly because you haven't looked at yourself and you haven't looked at the standard the way that you should. It is so sad in today's world that our world has determined that we cannot determine good and evil. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, it talks about spiritual maturity. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have come to eat milk and not solid food. For solid food belongs to those who are full age, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil." We should grow to the point that we can determine what good and evil is. And I can't determine good and evil by looking to a man or a woman and saying, "Oh yeah, that's my standard." The only standard we can have is God's Word. Number one, the process is look to yourself. Number two is see clearly. And we're going to be able to see clearer if we check ourselves and we're also looking at that standard to make sure that we are making correct assessment about ourselves. And then, yes, we do move on to others. You see, this is where the world has told us to stop. The world has convinced Christians that they must stop here. Look at yourself. Look to the standard, make sure you clear yourself up, but never go after the speck. Question, is the speck there? The Bible doesn't say that the speck isn't there. The Bible just says there's a process of dealing with the speck. Number one, look to yourself. Number two, make sure you see clearly. And then, number three, go help someone. Now, I didn't say go hurt someone. See, some Christians get that idea, is that, you know what, I feel like I've looked at myself, I feel like I can see clearly, this is an issue, and then they go and they're not trying to help, they're trying to hurt someone. That's wrong. And I know God's going to have some judgment calls on that, because I know that sometimes people would say that Kyle's heart's not the right place, and you know what, I'm going to have to answer. But you know what, the world has held Christians back from helping others. You don't realize that? The world has held Christians back from helping others. Now, there's a process. Number one, look to yourself. Number two, see clearly. Look at verse 5. It says, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Does the Bible say the speck is not there? Does the Bible say that the speck shouldn't be removed? No, the speck should be removed, but you better follow the process. And I fear that as Christians, many of us don't follow the process. Many of us don't look at ourselves the way that we should. Many of us don't try to see the situation clearly and make sure that we have gathered all the facts and not gossip. Step number 3 is go help someone. Get the plank out of your eye so you can see clearly, and then go help someone. The world has said you can't help someone. See, people use Matthew chapter 7 for two reasons. Matthew chapter 7 verse 1, they use it for two reasons. Number one, people use it for a license to sin and no one talks to them about it. You know, I don't know if you should really be at the bar. Don't judge me! Don't judge me! Don't judge me! I have a license to sin and you can't talk to me. That's the way one people use it. You know what? People use it as another way. Christians use it this way. They have a license to not help people. Well, you know what? I can't help anyone. I can't help anyone at all. That's not what the Bible says here. It says that we can't help. And I would encourage you to look at this because I think this is counter our culture. It's counter our culture in many ways. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. Is it possible for our brothers and sisters in Christ to drift away? Yes, it is. It is possible for our brothers and sisters in Christ to drift away. And I don't know how the world, the devil, and our society has convinced us to never touch the speck. You understand that the devil has convinced us that we cannot go to work on a speck. No, there's a process of working on the speck. Number one, look to yourself. Number two, see clearly. And then go help your brother. Don't go hurt your brother. Go help your brother. And if you don't think that this is biblical, I think that there are some verses that would definitely point us in this direction. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, I think it almost mirrors Matthew chapter 7. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, it says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Galatians chapter 1, I would argue, mirrors Matthew chapter 7. Look at yourself, see clearly, and then go help someone. The devil has held us back from helping those that are in need. And what a crime that is. Says, brethren, I'm going to change it a little bit. Says, brethren, if a man has a speck in his eye, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We see those ideas there. Consider yourself, make sure you see the situation clearly, and then go help them. The devil has convinced us to help someone spiritually is a sin. Now, you need to check yourself. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, it says that we should speak the truth in love. But I can tell you this, Paul was very loving and sometimes he took some heat. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, he says, therefore have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth. I understand that sometimes we can look at ourselves, I believe, we can look at ourselves. I believe sometimes we can see a situation clearly, and I think we can go to work on a speck, and those people that we try to work on the speck, they are going to be very mad at us. They were mad at Paul. They said, Paul, get out of town. We don't want you here. Stop pecking around in our eyes. And Paul says, I'm trying to help you. How has the world convinced us that leaving a speck is the loving thing to do? The world has convinced, I think, many Christians of that. Leave the speck in your brother's eye. Don't try to help them. If you try to help them, then you know what? You're the worst person ever. There's a way to do this right, and the Bible's telling us. Don't be a hypocritical judge. Look at yourself, and look at yourself long and hard. Make sure you see this situation clearly, and then go to work on the set. You know, this standard of the world, it just boggles my mind. I'm just going to use my son as an illustration. My son's going to grow up and surely he's going to do something wrong in his life at some point. And I'm going to tell my son that was wrong. You know, the world almost tells us I can't tell my son that. No, don't tell you, Ryan, he's doing something wrong. Don't tell him he's doing something wrong. Now, I tell you, this is where I would be a hypocrite. If I say, Uriah, don't talk to your mom that way, and then guess what I'm doing every day? I'm talking to her that way. Uriah, don't cuss, and then I'm cussing every day. That's hypocritical judgment. But I can look at my son, and I can say, son, that is wrong. And guess what? It's wrong for you, and it's wrong for dad, too. But the world says we can't do that anymore. I can't say my son is wrong. I can't say that my son has a mistake. Well, Dad, you can't tell me that because you sin in your life. Wrong is wrong. Right is right. We can know it with the standard of God. And if we look to ourselves and we can see a situation clearly, we can go help our brother. And I think if we apply this to parenting, we would see how ridiculous this is. The world has somehow convinced us that not helping our brother is a good thing to do. And I can tell you it's the wrong thing to do. In James chapter 5 and verses 19 through 20, it would not be possible with what the world says should happen. James chapter 5 verses 19 through 20 says, brethren, if any of you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way saves a soul from death and covers a multitude of sins. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 is not possible without judging. James chapter 5 verses 19 through 20 is not possible without judging, but you better follow the process. I can tell you it's interesting. We as Christians, you can fail at three stages of this process. Number one, you can fail if you don't look to yourself. And you know what? There are many Christians that are not very good at looking at themselves. Number two, you can fail if you don't see the situation clearly. If you don't see the situation clearly, you will fail. And number three, you fail if we've looked at ourselves, we've clearly assessed the situation, and then we don't help our brother with the second option. I know that this is not a hard lesson, and certainly I think you could preach on the misteachings of Matthew chapter 7 for a long time, but when you look at what God is telling us to do, I think it's clear. Look to yourself, make sure you see clearly, and then go help your brother with the second option. And somehow the world convinced us, don't help your brother. And what a crime that is. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you in any way we can this morning if you come as we stand and as we sing.